Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to episode 1059 of Gamertag Radio. I am Paris. This week I'm joined by Pete.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good, good. Danny is not going to be on this episode. Hopefully he will be back for the next episode. So we're just going to talk some video games without him on this episode. And let's just go ahead and jump into it. So Pete, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm exhausted, honestly. got up this morning and went on a 10 kilometer hike through the forest and hills behind me, and I'm tired, but a good tired, you know, like after you've gotten a really good workout in.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Spent the day Friday in Interlaken and Brienz. Me and some colleagues from work took off and went to the bright blue waters of Lake Brienz. And that was just eye-opening, being in a mountain valley with a lake in the bottom. So yeah, it's been a pretty decent weekend. Can't complain.
Very nice. Good. Good. Yeah. I've had, I don't want to say a long week, but family and I earlier in the week, you know, had a little mini getaway, which was good. And then I told myself I was swearing off drinking for the until September 1st, and I wound up drinking last night, so that freaking failed. But it was because we were hanging out with some friends we hadn't seen in a long time. I didn't want to be the weirdo that wasn't drinking, so I might have partaken just a little bit. But anyways, that's enough of the personal talk.
You got to do that.
Yeah.
And you got to enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get out and indulge.
Yeah, dude, the world's on fire, of course. Yes. But yeah, so again, this is Gamertag Radio, episode 1059. And before we jump into the show proper, I want to let everyone know you can find us, obviously, gamertagradio.com. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes. You know, Google Music's going away, I saw.
So no,
I think we're folding into YouTube.
Really?
I think it's folding into YouTube. Anyways, go through the whole spiel. So again, podcast, you can find us on your favorites, RSS feed catcher, wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Gamertag Radio is there. And obviously we stream live on Twitch. So you can find us over at twitch.tv/Gamertag Radio. And if you want to leave us feedback, you can do it just like this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete. So Avengers has a beta that is out right now on PlayStation 4. I am going to ask, but I think I already know the answer. Have you had a chance to play it?
Unfortunately, I do not have a console, so I cannot play it. The question would be, do you have Game Pass on PC? Would that allow you to play that?
No, because it's on PlayStation.
Well, then there's your answer.
Well, no, I'm pretty sure the beta is coming to PC and Xbox at some point. I'm not 100% sure when, but... the reason I bring that up, so Square Enix, shout out to them. They did send me a PlayStation 4 beta code, so I have been able to play the game, and I have thoughts. But before I get into that, I'm curious what you think of the whole Spider-Man controversy. The fact that Spider-Man is going to be exclusive on the PlayStation platform, just the character itself. It's coming later in the DLC. It's not day and date when the game launches. But how do you feel about PlayStation nabbing Spider-Man to be exclusive in the Avengers game only on their platform?
I mean, it's not surprising that they did that, considering they have, you know, their Spider-Man game and obviously coming soon, Miles Morales. So it doesn't catch me off guard to know that they kept that part of the exclusivity. Now, whether that is part and parcel to that game and because of that, they just continued the exclusivity, I'm not sure. But it's not surprising. And I know that there's been a lot of anger and vitriol thrown across the internet and Twitter and Reddit about this specific exclusivity, considering that it's something that should already be in the game and it's just an unlock. That said, it's how you draw consumers to your brand or product, and it differentiates your product from another. So from a marketing perspective, I think this is a no-brainer. I think it was a smart move. Should Microsoft perhaps take notes and do this for other titles? Absolutely. Where and when they can, I think they should, because it would draw eyes and opinions towards, you know, Xbox and anything and everything that they're offering on their side. But that said, I mean, as long as the game is fun and it allows you to play it, when I played it at E3, it was cool to be able to slam people around with the Hulk and button smash with Thor and things like that. I don't know if it's a game for me, though. But I'd like to withhold that type of judgment until I've physically played a more finished, polished game than I did last year at E3. What about you?
Okay, so on the Spider-Man thing, I've talked about this on Twitter since they announced it. No, I don't think it's... People have been screaming, oh, this is anti-consumer. Why are they doing that? I don't think it's anti-consumer. I think it's good business. It's taking advantage of a situation. And I understand people that... Like, I love Spider-Man. He is my favorite superhero ever, right? So when I saw that news, my immediate thought was like, well, looks like I was going to play Avengers on PC. Maybe I should play it on PlayStation. So in that sense, it worked, because that's exactly what Sony was attempting to do. They're trying to push more people towards their platform using an iconic character, which, let's be honest, is already associated with their platform because of obviously the Spider-Man games from Insomniac. So I get why they did it. Again, I just think it's business. You're still able to play Avengers on Xbox, and you're still able to play it on PC, and it's still going to be worth your $60 if you enjoy that type of game, just because you're not getting a Spider-Man DLC. And they already talked about the way that they're doing the story arcs. Inserting him in just on PlayStation isn't going to ruin it, because he'll have like his individual arc, and then obviously other characters can come in. So I get it. It's a part of the business that shouldn't be a shock, because we've obviously seen plenty of examples of this throughout the years anyways. To go to your point, should Xbox do it? I mean, Phil Spencer's already come out and said that that's not their bag anymore. That's not things that they're going to do. He doesn't like the exclusivity content thing. So it doesn't seem like Xbox will do something like this. Have they done it in the past? Yes. I mean, you can think of a game like Tomb Raider. It had an exclusive window. Titanfall had an exclusive window, things like that. So I get it. And it's not just Spider-Man that's going to be exclusive to PlayStation. Like this beta right now is first on PlayStation. There's some other DLC content. I forget exactly how it goes. I don't have it in front of me, but there's some other exclusivity things which will appear first on PlayStation before they'll appear on the other platform. So PlayStation clearly threw their money at this because they see it as a tactical advantage against their competitors. And it's going to work. I mean, let's just be honest. Destiny is another one that by the end, we're all pissed that they were doing it, you know, as far as the Destiny community goes. But my sole reason for spending my first, 5 years playing Destiny on PlayStation was because of that exclusivity deal they did back in 2014. So it worked. It got me to play Destiny on their platform. So I get it. I totally get it. I understand why some people are upset, but it's not anti-consumer. Look, we're going to get to something that's anti-consumer soon, but that isn't it. It's just a necessary evil. It's for PlayStation. It's a necessary evil to do because they use it to their advantage, and Xbox has chosen to not do that anymore. So we'll see how that plays out when the game launches next month. Now, I have played it, and I teased that I was going to have this epic rant about it. Being old, I've tempered that somewhat, and I'm just going to simply say that I played it, and I'm trying to not be harsh, and I want to say it's not a good game. It's not. It's not. I'm actually shocked that this game is launching next month. And this goes back a year when I was at Gamescom and I played it. And I walked out then, and we could pull the tape, because I know I even said it on the podcast at the time. I was slightly concerned with the direction that they were going with the game. And now that I've played the beta and I've seen it fully fleshed out, it's just bland. It's not fun to play. There's a lot of sameness in the things that you do. It starts to feel very repetitive without rewards for your like, again, I just have to compare it to Destiny in this sense. Obviously, Destiny, you're doing a lot of the activities over and over, but you're doing them over and over because of the loot drops that are happening. The rewards aren't feeling satisfying coming out of the Avengers game. If I had to compare it to something, and I don't think it's this bad, but this is a concern. My radar went up. Anthem. It has an Anthem feel to it where they're going to launch this game next month. And what I think is going to happen is it's going to have an early excitement to it because it's Marvel. It's Avengers, right? There's going to be the co-op experiences that you can have using your favorite comic book characters. I get it. But I think after we go through some of these missions and some of these environments, after a couple weeks, people are going to be like, okay, now what? I think that's what's going to happen. Yes, there is a skill tree, so you can upgrade things. You know, there's the gear. There's all that. I get it. It's there in the game, but it's not fun. It's very bland. The activities that you're doing, like you mentioned Hulk. Dude, after a couple hours, I'm like, okay, I've Hulk smashed. I've Iron Maned it. You know, It feels very the same. Like, even using the Black Widow and all that, the only one that felt kind of different to me was Iron Man, because it has a verticality to it. Mm-hmm. Other than that, playing with the different characters felt very almost generic in a way. It's not what I was hoping it was going to be. If this game would have came out 5 years ago, we'd be losing our freaking minds over it. But a lot has happened in 5 years. And directly, with a game like Destiny, with a game like The Division, obviously Anthem is entered the mix. There's been other co-op type games that have come out over these past 5 years, to where you're now putting this game out. I have higher expectations for you. And I feel like this is going to launch in September. I'm telling you, Pete, by November 1st, no one's even going to care that Spider-Man's exclusive to PlayStation, because no one's going to be playing this game. Not for an extended period of time. This feels like a game that if it was a part of a subscription service, like, you would play it, but then you'll be done after a few weeks and you're going to move on. I think that's what's going to happen with this. And I don't think, I think there's going to be a lot of complaints about, all right, I've gone through the content. There's not enough to do. I want more to do. I want more things to do. And I'm sure the devs are scrambling to make more content. I'm sure they have a roadmap, but by the time they get to their quote unquote Taken King / Secret Wars huge expansion, which is probably going to be in, you know, a year from now in 2021, is anyone even going to care? That's my concern with Avengers. I feel like it's going to have an early spark to it because of the nostalgia of it, because of what you're playing, the content, the characters. And, you know, hey, the voice acting, top notch. I mean, they got Nolan North, Troy Baker. They got A-list cast for the voice acting. The story seems good enough. But I'm telling you, once you get through that story, once you get through the initial content, and now you get into, Disney, Mickey don't like me saying this, but once you get through that initial content and you get to the point where now you're repeating the content because you're chasing loot, there's not going to be anything really to chase. And that's going to be the problem, I think, personally. Is there going to be a raid-esque type event that happens in the game to where it's going to be extremely difficult, but the reward that you get for that challenge is going to be coveted, something that you're going to want to show off on social media and all your friends and all that, because, like, yo, he put in some freaking work to get this. I worry about that. I don't think that's in the game right now. And I think that's something you're going to say is coming soon. And again, lessons learned with Anthem, they said the same damn thing and it never happened. Right. So sure. I worry about these things. This is what I hope I hope I'm so freaking wrong. I want to make that clear. I hope I am so wrong. Paris, you're an idiot. This game is amazing. Because I even had people sniping at me yesterday on Twitter because I said it yesterday. I didn't really like the game. I love it. I think it's great. I got the Hulkbuster armor. It's awesome. I play with my son. That is amazing. Please do that. I hope you have fun with it. I'm just telling you from what I played, it is not something. There are too many other kick-ass games that are going to come out the rest of this year that I'm not going to force myself to enjoy something that I can clearly tell I don't enjoy. And that's it. And it's just one man's opinion. If you love it, absolutely enjoy Avengers. I'm just concerned because I almost feel at this point, Pete, and I know you can say the same, I feel like I kind of got experience now with these kind of games. So yep. I know how it works. And I'm telling you, this is going down the wrong path of how it should work. So that's it. Any thoughts on that?
No, and I think that a game like this would have served much better, or it would have played and experienced much better on a Switch. And I know that they chose to go a different route by doing the Ultimate Alliance 3 Black Order launch for the Switch and not allowing Marvel Avengers to be on the Switch. But I just think that that platform would have been much better suited for a game like this, including, you know, just to include that platform in the launch. I don't know or understand why the decision was made last year to not include it as a platform for this game, but I think it would have been much better served, especially the portability of the Switch and allowing you to, you know, play it wherever you want. I think that would have just, it may have tilted the positivity dial a little bit more over to their side.
Well, and that's the thing, because even someone in the chat asked the question, do we think this game is more geared towards kids? Which, hey, the Switch platform obviously would cater more to that. I don't think it is, really. I think they're going for more of that upper teen to, you know, young adult demographic, it seems to me. It's definitely not a quote-unquote kiddie game, but like I said, the gameplay itself, the gameplay loop, and I say this a lot, you know, Bungie coined this freaking 20 years ago, that 30 seconds of fun. I don't feel like that's in this game. I feel like you'll do a couple cool things, but you're really just doing that same thing over and over, and it gets boring. I can't stress that enough. To me, this feels boring. I don't feel that wow factor. I don't feel that excitement factor coming out of playing, going through these missions. The environments are they're not very inspiring. Is what I'm saying. Maybe it's just the beta. Maybe we get into more stuff and it's going to be awesome. Because, like, look, when you go to that world map and you can zoom around the different parts of the world to go to an activity, that stuff looks cool. Don't get me wrong. Graphically, it's fine. That's not an issue either. I just feel like, again, if this was 5 years ago, it would blow our minds. But now coming out in 2020, especially when new consoles are about to drop, I just feel like this is going to be a missed opportunity for a very coveted IP. Because let's be real, right. The Marvel characters, the possibility, and that's kind of the one thing I want to say. I'm worried about how it's launching because I can see its long-term appeal. Like, imagine if eventually with the Avengers, they got to Avengers versus X-Men, or they had like an Age of Apocalypse event, or like I said before, Secret Wars. There's so much history and lore inside the Marvel universe that they can filter through this game. That would be amazing. I just wonder if not only Square is going to be invested for the long term, but is Marvel going to be invested for the long term to allow them the time to actually build out this world? And look, you only get one chance at a first impression. And that's my worry is, look, Bungie got away with Destiny launching the way it did in 2014 because no one was doing anything like that at the time. And if they didn't have Taken King a year later, there is no Destiny 2 right now. Trust me, that game would have gone because the community would have bailed and would have been gone. Like, look at the struggles that, I don't even say struggles, but look at the Division 2 right now. They just had a raid. They just talked about new content that's coming out this winter with the whole big skyscraper thing. Nobody's talking about it. You know what I'm saying? Where's the voice of the community? And look, I know there's a dedicated Division community, don't get me wrong, because I'm a part of it, but it doesn't have the excitement that it had just 2 years ago. And the point I'm making is the Avengers might stick around a couple years, but is the community and the excitement going to be there if it has a poor launch and people go, oh, dead game, this is boring, there's nothing to do. I don't care if they're coming out with an expansion. You're not getting my $30 for an expansion when I just gave you $60 and I didn't like what it was a year ago. That's my concern with the game. And look, it is a beta. I want to be crystal clear. This is a beta. This is not the final game. I'm not judging it. I'm just, look, my spidey sense, pun intended, went off just like it did with Mass Effect, Andromeda, and Anthem. I know those are EA games and BioWare games specifically, but this is my warrior. I'm like, uh-oh, I don't know about this. I'm concerned. And that's it. And someone else asked me about Outriders because that's another Square game. I got to play that. Was it People Can Fly? I made that. I played it right before COVID happened back in February, and I had fun with it. I had fun, but this is not the same kind of game. I honestly think them, new IP, new universe, I think there's potential there with Outriders that I wasn't seeing with Avengers, if that makes sense. But we'll see. Again, got to wait till the final game for both come out and you judge accordingly. But I'm just telling you, I am in concerned mode. We'll see next month when it comes out. I will absolutely give it a full chance, play through the whole game, see how I feel at that point. Hopefully a month from now, I'm an idiot regardless, but hopefully people can yell at me and say, Parrish, you're an idiot. This game's amazing. Why were you saying all that stuff back in August? Because now it's September and it's amazing. I hope so. But I will also say this, look at what's coming behind it, and it better have lasting power, because the games that are going to come out this holiday, not to mention next gen consoles launching at the same time, it's going to have stiff competition to keep your attention.
Well,
that's all. That's
one thing,
all
one saying. Thing you said earlier on in your rant was that it will it survive beyond November 1st? I think that's knowing that at least the two of us have a Cyberpunk 2077 bias. I think
who's biased with Cyberpunk? Not me. What are you talking about?
So I know that since the two of us are really anticipating that, I think saying November 1st is generous at best. And then throwing out the titles that are coming out in that whole time frame, if it survives beyond September, you know, if it survives beyond the middle of October, is going to be very telling. And hopefully they have a roadmap and share that roadmap to everybody prior to that, to keep players engaged, to keep them in the ecosystem of Marvel Avengers, is going to say a lot. Because if they don't have a plan, it's going to blow up in their face, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I agree. And yeah, I was just throwing November 1st out as an arbitrary date. But the point remains of everything that you said. I mean, look, Cyberpunk is its own monster that is going to literally engulf the entire gaming community when that drops on November 19th. So let's not get that twisted. Nothing's competing with that. But we know at some point there's going to be Halo Infinite. We know at some point there's going to be Call of Duty. We know Assassin's Creed is coming. We know Watch Dogs is coming. Hell, which I'm going to talk about a little bit in a minute, the game of the year is already out in Fall Guys. So it's like they got competition. Destiny 2 has a new expansion happening. Like I said, the Division 2 has new content coming out this winter. There's a lot of different games that are going to be dropping. Spider-Man Miles Morales, as an example, is coming out. So there's competition. There's competition for your eyeballs, your attention, and most importantly, your wallet. So I just hope it has staying power. I just hope there is a steady stream of activities and content that come that keep people interested, that are fun and engaging to do. Because, look, it's Avengers. It's Marvel. We want this to succeed. I just wasn't that impressed with what I played yesterday. So that's it. Anything else on Avengers?
Now, I think we've spent way more time on Avengers over the last 5 years. Between the movies and the MCU. So I think the fact that we started it off and we had this conversation like this is good. So I think we can move to the next topic.
I have to say, before we move on to the next thing, there was a hilarious meme on Twitter when the whole Spider-Man thing happened. So they took at the end of Infinity War, you know, when Spider-Man is getting dusted and, you know, and Stark is holding him, and they had it like Iron Man was PC holding Spider-Man, and he was like, I'm sorry. And then in the back was Nebula. She was Xbox, and they're like, they did it. And then he fades away. I was crying laughing. It was so freaking funny. But speaking on Xbox, and speaking on something that I kind of do think is anti-consumer, Project X Cloud, iOS, Apple, Pete, I'm going to rant on this for sure.
No, I'm hitting mute.
Please. No. I want to hear your thoughts first.
Oh, you want to hear my thoughts first. Okay. Whether you consider it anti-consumer or anti-platform is something that could be truly confusing. Because I think Microsoft does infringe on several of the things that Apple already does and vice versa, just because they are such, you know, they're platforms at this point, right? I don't consider them software giants or whatever. I consider them platforms because people use them for more than just single arbitrary things, right? They're multi-purpose. We use them in our daily lives, whether they're at home, whether they're at work, whether they're at play. That said, I think Apple is being a little hard-headed at this point, because I think they're dropping a large ball in the fact that sticking by their guns with their policies for applications to prevent Microsoft from being able to provide as a service multiple titles within one. That's one of the bigger things that Apple is using as their air quotes here, as their excuse to not allow Game Cloud or X Cloud or whatever at Game Pass, X Cloud, whatever, on their iOS products. Considering that we've seen them be more lenient with other applications in the past, and I don't want to touch upon the new, you know, the TikTok President Trump ban thing. I don't want to get into that. But seeing as how they've been lenient in the past about how things are done in their ecosystem, I think it's disappointing that they're using this as their leverage point to try and prevent xCloud from living as a living, breathing service for iOS. And I think being able to use xCloud, whether it's on my iPad, on my iPhone, or if it's an Android phone or tablet, I think it's doing a disservice to the industry. But I think Apple might be, what's the term, biting their nose to spite their face or whatever it is. And that's me personally. But I'm curious to hear, because I know you have, you know, you and I are both iOS converts. We, you know, you more so than I am more recent than you are, but I understand how that affects us, because we've gone over to the iOS side. Knowing Danny has been staunchly Android on his, which is weird because he's Android on his mobile phone, but he's got Mac everywhere else. I don't understand why or how that. So that's weird. But that being said, I would like to see Apple truly sit back and realize how much they're going to lose out from a consumer perspective on that platform, because that you're missing out on market share. You're missing out on people being able to buy into the service. This is also a snub to Microsoft in and of itself, because they're platform competitors. And I'm curious if Microsoft is truly hurting because they lost out on the mobile device war, where, you know, we don't see a Windows mobile device anywhere in the world anymore, because they killed off that whole brand and that division. Should they have stuck around and invested money to enable things such as this to continue on that ecosystem? Would it have been enough to perhaps give life to Microsoft and Windows Mobile? That's it. I step away. The floor is yours.
Okay. So let me just start it off this way. The fact that Apple is banning apps like Stadia, GeForce Now, and Project xCloud on their platform due to their app store policies is bullshit. It's 1000% bullshit is what it is. It is a legacy policy from an age that is irrelevant now. Apple was able to get away with this nonsense a decade ago because they were the big fish in the small pond. That pond has now turned into an ocean. Android is just as relevant today as iOS is. You don't need to have an iPhone. Look, I have an iPhone. I have an iPad. I got a Mac Mini, all that. I obviously like the Apple ecosystem. But when you stifle innovation on your platform due to these archaic policies, because number one, you're greed. That's part of it. Let's be clear. Money is what really drives this because they want to cut. Then number two, I get the security concerns, and obviously they want to filter certain apps and make sure they're not allowing, I don't know, you know, nonsense on their platform. I don't even want to get into the exact details of it, but you get what I mean. I understand that. Absolutely. Enforce that kind of stuff. I get it. But when you take an app like this, like we're talking these cloud streaming apps, these cloud gaming apps, and you say you want to review every game that's a part of it. Come on. It's absolutely ridiculous. The problem is they realize that if an xCloud app is on there, they're not going to get a cut of Game Pass. That's honestly what this really comes down to. They realize if Stadia is on there, they're not going to get a cut every time someone buys a Stadia game, because they can easily go around it and say, okay, don't buy the game or subscribe through the iOS app. Go to your web browser and do it. Done. And now Apple is cut out of it. So instead, Apple doesn't allow it at all, and they come up with these ridiculous policies as the reasons why. It is 2020. It is no longer 2010. It is no longer 2000. What was it 2008 when the App Store came out? Something like that. I get it. Back then, when you had to do all this kind of stuff, you don't have to do that anymore. There are so many other app stores out there. Again, let's just keep it real here. Microsoft partnered with Samsung because Samsung is as much a competitor to Apple, is as almost as big as Apple on their own, with, you know, taking the whole of Android out of it. Samsung makes enough quality hardware that Microsoft sees the potential in it, that they're specifically partnering with them on the mobile side and making sure that the Samsung hardware is optimized for that Project xCloud app. Their accessories that are coming out will work on the Samsung platform. It just makes sense. And do not think it was coincidence that Samsung and Microsoft come out and announce their partnership. Do not think it was coincidence that literally the day before we get the announcement that Project xCloud is going to be Android only. And on that same day of the partnership announcement, that's when the iOS app stopped working. Because I'm sitting here at home in horror like, oh, it don't work anymore. Because that's the other nonsense about it. You allowed Microsoft to have Project xCloud as a beta on your platform for months. I've been playing the Master Chief Collection on there for months on the iPad. I got put videos out. It works. We know it works. But then all of a sudden, oh yeah, yeah, we can't let you go to final product. You limited it to 10,000 people in one game. That's fine because it was a beta. But now that Microsoft wants to roll this out on a bigger scale, now all of a sudden, oh, we got to enforce our policies. And look, I know there's back and forth, and clearly Microsoft had to been aware of this before. I'm sure there's been negotiations going on. They broke down, and here we are. Do not think Microsoft isn't parading out Project xCloud the way they are. Bold letters, Android only, announcing the Samsung partnership September 15th, putting out that it no longer works on iOS. We are now in public pressure stage. They want dum-dums like me ranting and raving on freaking Twitter about it. They want to make sure that they show people, their quote-unquote influencers, having Android devices playing Project xCloud. They want you to see that because they want that 47% of the market that has an iOS device, or at least an sure iPhone, to be upset about this, because it's hurting Microsoft to not. You have to be on iOS. You have to be if you truly want adoption for this cloud gaming stuff. If they truly want to reach, as they said, the billions of people in the world with gaming, iOS has to be a part of it, because there's way too many people in this world that use an iPhone. I use an iPhone. I'm going to tell you right now, if I were to say, hey, Rox, I'm going to switch over to Android because I want to play Project xCloud, she would look at me and laugh in my face. No, you're not. You're not screwing up. You're not getting off of iMessage just for some stupid game. That's what she would say to me, right? So I want it on iOS because that is the ecosystem that I have chosen to invest in, right? On my own free will. I'm not saying it's better than Android. It's just the one that I've chosen. But I want to play Project xCloud so much so that it has made me consider, do I need to go get a Samsung tablet or something like that if this is going to be a long-term thing? I hope something is worked out sooner rather than later. I feel that it eventually will, but we're at that point now where Apple has officially said something. Microsoft responded, and I love their response because, again, it's putting the pressure back on Apple that, dude, your archaic policies no longer matter. You need to change this stuff. You need to be more flexible with it. Clearly, a cloud gaming app is not a threat to your ecosystem. You're just mad that you're not getting money for it. That's what the problem is right now. I don't know. Obviously, Spotify has come out and said stuff. I mean, Netflix has said stuff in the past. So it is Apple is the issue here. It is 100% Apple. And I'm an Apple guy. And I'm saying this is bullshit. Apple needs to change what they're doing. They need to get with the times. They need to stop acting like they're the superior platform to everything because they're not. You know, there was a time where I don't know if you remember this, Pete. God, was that 4 or 5 years ago? I was on Android. I was using the OnePlus.
Yep.
Loved it. I could have been fine. Honestly, the only reason I went back was because my wife and kids were using iPhones and they like to use iMessage. It was just easier. So screw it. I'll switch back. But trust me, I am not married to iOS. Like I can't be on Android. If they keep doing things like that, eventually they're going to push people like me and other people to go back to Android. That's what's going to happen. And as silly as it may sound that a cloud gaming app is the reason, it very well could be the catalyst that starts it, because now you're going to start paying attention to more ridiculous policies that Apple are doing. You're going to start paying attention to more things that are on Android that aren't on iOS. And why? Oh, it's Apple. So, I mean, we'll see, man. I want this cloud technology to work, because as much as as hard as I am on Stadia, the technology of Stadia is phenomenal. That ain't the issue. The technology of GeForce Now and Project xCloud is great. It does work. And Xbox is doing it the right way because they're doing it as a supplement. They are saying, keep playing on your Xbox. Keep playing on your PC as the primary way you play. But hey, if you want to hop on Destiny 2 on your way to work while you're on the train and you want to go see Xur and pull this down or do a quick mission, whatever, the technology is there to allow you to do that now as a supplement. And they're tying it to Game Pass, which obviously we've talked about, you know, a million times as being a great value for gaming. It just makes sense. But you're basically telling me on September 15th, I can't participate in that. And that sucks because I don't have an Android phone. I don't have an Android tablet. You know, why? Just put it under freaking iOS. The app is already like, look. I still have it. It's on this iPad. I haven't removed it. It's like, just let it work. You know what I'm saying? So it's frustrating that these business politics and tactics take away from consumer enjoyment. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. I'm just a gamer. I just want to have fun. You know, I have the technology and hardware to be able to do this stuff. You're just not allowing me to do it because you're not getting a taste. You're not getting a cut, and that sucks. So I don't know. I could rant forever, so I will stop. Anything else you want to add to that?
Well, I do. You briefly touched on the whole YouTube, Netflix thing. You know, being applications or services that already reside on that platform. So if you're not going to allow Microsoft, why are you allowing Netflix? Why are you allowing Prime Video? Why are you allowing
this
YouTube?
This is my point.
Things like that. Those are all basically the same thing. But because they don't directly interfere with your Apple Arcade service, and Microsoft says no to your 30% tax or whatever, your 30% cut, that's why you want to change. For as progressive a company as Apple purports to be, they're not being very progressive in this mind state. And I think in this instance or this example, they're being more headstrong towards their shareholders than they are towards being progressive. I think if Steve Jobs was still alive today, he probably would have allowed this because...
No.
You don't think so?
You think he wouldn't allow it?
No, I think he would have. I think his progressivism would have allowed something like this to occur.
Oh, no, no, no. And that's, and, I agree. That's what, I guess that's okay. what I'm saying. I think Steve Jobs, if Steve Jobs was still alive and head of Apple, I think he would have adopted to the times, so to speak. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but that's, and that's one of the things that, you know, unfortunately we're missing out on, right? Is that ultimate, that, you know, who was it that actually brought next level or next generation features to Apple? And we're seeing that now, where there's the features that we're seeing now, or the things that are coming out now, just aren't as game changing as they were when good old Stevie was behind the board.
Yeah. Yeah.
That being said, if you had the OnePlus One before, I'm assuming you sold it because you could be playing xCloud now if you had it.
No, I broke it. Oh. I dropped it and cracked the screen. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, this was like, what, 5 years ago or whenever it was. But yeah, yeah. And that's why I was like, ah, screw it. I was going to have phone again. That was a catalyst.
Oh, well, it is what it is. But it'll be curious to see how they change, how or if Apple actually goes back and changes their mind, especially knowing, who was it, Tim Sweeney from Epic kind of, you know, took off, you know, he went off on them as well.
Yeah.
Because now they got rid of xCloud, they got rid of Stadia, they're blocking GeForce Now, but doesn't that in the same respect also affect Epic's game store? Because they basically do the same thing. Multiple games or features that you could do on there. And it's not just Epic, right? There's Fortnite, there's Minecraft, Roblox, all do these similar functions. But those are allowed. So why not block those while you're at it, Apple? Think about it.
Well, but think about it from the Epic standpoint, because when you tie it into GeForce Now, Epic Store works through GeForce Now. So again, you're limiting the audience that can play these games because of your business policies, your App Store policies, which worked a decade ago but seem ridiculous now. And it's corporate nonsense. It's being, I'm sure, negotiations are happening at a high level right now, and eventually all these apps will be on iOS. And I think the fact that you have a Google, you have a Microsoft that are now involved that want their apps on there, it's going to eventually happen. There's going to be some kind of compromise that happens. It's just frustrating that it hasn't already happened. Like I said, I'm more mad at the Project xCloud one. So in short, yeah, it just sucks that Project xCloud will not be a part of iOS right away. But like I said, at the corporate level, they'll figure this out eventually, and we'll get it on there. Just in the short term, I guess I need to figure out how to get some kind of Android device, because I do want to play this at launch. I do want to check out multiple games, because the only game I've done on xCloud has been Halo Master Chief Collection. I want to be able to play Ori, right? Like my hope was to be able to play a game like Ori on my iPad, because I know it would look gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So hopefully something, you know, when next month when it goes live, I can get some kind of Android device and I can check it out further, and then we'll have thoughts. And I know Danny will be playing it, and we'll just go from there. So, all right, let's move on from that. And I want to talk about the game of the year, because this is the game of the year. And Pete, I know you have some thoughts on this, but Fall Guys is the game of the year, period. And I say that after only playing it one day yesterday. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. But have you had a chance to play it since it's been out now, or anything since E3?
Unfortunately not. I played this at E3 last year, and I walked away from that Devolver Digital booth floored. I played three games back then, and I even included it in one of my top fives of E3 back then, because I had a suspicion that when you have a game that is ridiculously stupid fun, and it doesn't have a lot of, it doesn't require a lot of brain trust, right? Like, it's just, you go in and it's like, what was that? It was like a Japanese, was it Extreme? Something Extreme. I don't know. It was like a game show in Japan, and people would do ridiculous, stupid stunts against other people to try to get to
the... Oh, yeah, yeah. I can't remember now, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That game was Most Extreme Challenge or something like that. Thank you, Beaker. I love you. MXE. That Fall Guy is basically MXE in video game format. And it's so ridiculously fun. I am not surprised that the popularity that it's undergoing right now is what it is. The only thing that concerns me is instances where you see it getting downvoted or review bombed because of what's happening with Mediatonic. Mediatonic, when you think about it, is still a small, independent studio. They may have worked on things like Gears Tactics, but that doesn't mean that they have infrastructure or they can support the infrastructure on a game like this. While yes, it was, it is super fun. I don't want to even say was. It still is a stupid, ridiculously fun game. The fact that it's gone through such a difficult time with server loads, that they've had to take down servers to be able to moderate the load that they're getting slammed with, and it's still being, you know, it's still getting the reviews and the enjoyment and the excitement behind it. It's so worth it. I love the fact that they're doing this, and it's actually got me second thinking whether I need to go out and buy a console for this. It's on PC.
So, all right. What do you think? I'm playing on Steam right now.
Okay, Paris, you take over because I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to buy a beer.
Yes. Look, I'm half kidding when I say it's game of the year, but like what Pete is saying, it's such just good, simple fun, and it brings out your competitive juices despite its simplicity. And that's what I love about it so much. And it's so funny because obviously, you know, it came out earlier this week, and you know, I've seen, you know, other YouTubers and stuff talking about it, people talking about it on social media. And I had jumped in. I was like, oh, cool, whatever. And, you know, but I'll get to it eventually. And then yesterday I'm sitting here and I go, I need to play this. Screw it. I'm just going to play it. And I just went, I went, bought it on Steam, downloaded it. It's only a gig. It's so tiny of a download. And from like 5 minutes later, I was in and I was playing and just having a blast because, like I said, you go through these different obstacles and just that sense of satisfaction when you qualify, you're like, yes. And you know, like I haven't won. I haven't gotten to the end and actually won yet, but it's just so fun to play. Even when you fail, you're laughing. You're like, oh God, I'm an idiot. You know, like I had posted a video yesterday where it was like the match game one, mm-hmm. where you had to match the thing, like it was like a cherry and a banana, and you had to match the tile that you're on. And I saw it said cherry, and I'm literally next to the platform that says cherry, but my dumb lizard brain was like, oh no, you need to go to the cherry that you saw on the other side of the map. So I'm trying to get to that, and the freaking platform opened and I fell and I died. Idiot. Idiot. But I'm just dying laughing at it. And I love it. It's so fun. So I would say to anyone that especially if you have if you're on PlayStation Plus, such a score for them to be able to get that as a part of PlayStation Plus. Go get it for free, jump in, have a blast playing it. You'll be on there for hours just laughing. And I look, the day that I actually win one of these matches, you're gonna see like 5,000 videos on it because I'm posting it everywhere. I'm letting the world know that I freaking won. You're gonna see it. But yeah, absolutely. Go get it on PlayStation. And I'm like, I got it on Steam. It's $20 on Steam. You can go grab it there. Is it on Xbox? I don't even know. Is it
just an install? Let's put it that way. It's done. Yeah. It's already installed and ready to go. So.
But is this a PlayStation game? Or an Xbox game? Is it on Xbox? I have no idea.
I don't think so. I don't think it is yet.
No, it's not. I'm looking right now. PlayStation 4 and Windows. That's it. So again, huge score for the console side. For PlayStation, I would assume at some point it will be on Xbox and it'll be on Switch as well. But yeah, dude, jump in and play. Because basically it's a 60-player battle royal. Battle royale is what it is. And yeah, dude, it's so fun. I that's all I can say. It's like I just have a goofy grin on my face. And that's what I love. This is what gaming is all about. Gaming doesn't have to be this, you know, 500 million quadruple A game that they've spent 20 years making and it does online. It doesn't, yeah, that nonsense. It's simple, but it's fun. It's game of the year. I'm not even, you know what? I was half kidding. No, I'm not kidding. It's game of the year. It's the best game I played this year. One day, it's the best game I played this year. You know, look out, Cyberpunk. You might get replaced. I might be the fall guy. That might be my new name.
So there's two questions then that have to be asked. A, is it crossplay? So can I play cross-platform? If I'm on PC, can I play with people on PlayStation?
I don't think it is yet. I remember seeing something about eventually they want to get there with it, but not yet.
Okay. And then the second question is, and I don't recall if I asked this when I spoke to them, since we know it's not on Xbox, this game seems tailor-made for the Switch as well. That would be stupid fun to walk around.
Dude. Oh my God. And again, this is what we talk about, the simplicity. This is why the Switch is such an amazing piece of tech for exactly what you're saying right now. Imagine that, dude. I would get
on the train playing this game and yelling at my Switch, wondering why. And then just I could just imagine the conservative people here in Switzerland looking at me on the train like, what is wrong with this 6-foot Asian guy hollering at his Switch?
Yep. So freaking good. But yeah, so it's not on Xbox right now. It's not on Switch right now. Those are coming. Crossplay is eventually coming. Dude, it's $20. If you don't have a PlayStation on Steam, just go grab it. If you're on PlayStation, you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber, go grab it, play it. I mean, it's just fun. Now, one thing I want to say, and this isn't a negative on the game, this is the quote unquote a negative on the gaming community. Small developer brings out a game that they did not expect to be this mega hit out the box, has server issues. But yet the gaming community wants to complain. Mm-hmm. Let's be more adult about this, please. I mean, it's a damn shame that even again in 2020, with all the nonsense going on in the world, we finally get something that can bring us a little bit of joy. And yet people still find a reason to complain about it. It's like, okay, they had server issues. It's a smash hit. Be excited they had server issues, because that means a lot of people want to play it. That's how I looked at it. I was like, okay, do what you guys got to do. Fix it. Get it right. It's not like, you know, it's not like this. They're Bungie or something, right? Or they're Ubisoft or whatever, EA. It's not like they're this huge corporation, you know, with tons of people. It's a small team working on this, and they did not expect this amount of people to want to jump in day one. So it's like, shame on you, gaming community. We can be better than that. That's all I'm saying. And it's an amazing game. I love it. Please check it out. Play it. I guarantee you we're going to have streams. You can laugh at us failing. It's going to be awesome. So this was a very happy surprise for me. Very happy surprise to see, because this is what gaming is all about, in my opinion. Just something like this that anyone can pick up and play and have a good time, but yet it's competitive as hell. Like you said, friendships will be ruined over this damn game. I can see it already.
I was saying this in the before we went live, but this is the digital version of a game like Monopoly or a game like Uno, where it tests friendships. This will test relationships. I can't wait for the wife to show up. I may have to buy her something that'll allow us to play, because this is going to get us yelling and screaming at each other in the living room. It's that good. It's that much fun. And I hope, and I know Mediatonic has talked about this in the past. They've talked about they just want to get everything working properly on PlayStation and on or on PC. But I would love to see this on multiple platforms, cross-play, letting, you know, like I could be on the Switch on the living room. My daughter could be like, let's say if I do end up getting the PS5, which we've talked about, she's in there, or let, you know, the three of us could be sitting here yelling at each other, just like going random nutso in here. So I would love to see this game start touching all platforms and just allowing everybody to get in on the fun. And I have a birdie in my ear saying that me, you, and Mandy should be on stream playing Fall Guys. Can you imagine the ridiculousness and the yelling and screaming?
That would have
to be like a not safe for work. We'd have to put like an R-rated, like you have to be 18 or older for that stream, because that's going to be a lot of yelling and screaming.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be so good. So freaking good. And kind of spinning this all the way back to the beginning of the show, this is what I'm talking about. You only get one chance at a first impression.
Yep.
So think of it now. Now Fall Guys is going to have so much goodwill in the gaming community that, look, server issues aside, people are going to have patience and be excited to see as they expand upon this and build on it. And we get new obstacle courses, stuff like that, and new features like we were talking about, eventually crossplay, eventually, like when it comes to Xbox and the Switch, people are going to lose their freaking minds, right? That's what we want to see in gaming, man. We want to be excited about stuff. I don't want to come on this podcast complaining about a highly anticipated game not living up to expectations. I want every game to kick ass and be amazing. And we just have fun, because that's what all this is about, is having fun. And I'm having fun with Fall Guys. And that's all that should matter, that you have fun. Give a crap about frame rate, resolution, none of that. Who cares? It's fun. And that's all that matters. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the future of it. Like you said, as they build upon this, absolutely, we got to do streams and just laugh at each other for failing and just everything else. It's going to be so good. I can't wait.
Let's do it. Let's schedule it. Let's work on that.
Absolutely. That so with that, I think we've reached the end of the show. Mm-hmm. I actually just saw a message from Danny. I'll say it in the after show. I'm going to say what he said in the after show.
That's what I said earlier before when it was like, oh, somebody, he's been creeping. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Hilarious. But yeah, let's just go ahead and wrap this up. But before we get out of here, I want to remind everyone, if you want to leave us feedback, you can do it just like this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, and I know we didn't get to feedback in this episode, but we definitely have had some emails. We have a ton of voicemails. We will be playing those on future shows, and we appreciate all your support. So with that said, let's go ahead and wrap up the show. Pete, any last words before we get out of here?
We need to stream Fall Guys soon.
Absolutely.
Soon.
I agree.
Let's do this. And it's not on PC. Oh, wait, it is on PC. No Xbox. That means Danny doesn't join us. That's a double win for everyone.
Oh, my God. Look, even at PlayStation, he ain't on PlayStation either. We win regardless. It's great. But yeah, before we get out of here, real quick, shout out over to Destin at IGN. I was co-host on IGN Fire Team Chat. This week we talked about Destiny 2 and Soulstice Heroes and just upcoming stuff. Obviously, speaking of Pete, I notice you've been playing, because you even invited me and I was in the middle of something, so I didn't join, but you've been playing Destiny 2 again.
I have to ask,
what's your power level?
938, I think. And I haven't played since Wednesday or Tuesday. So,
okay. Yeah. You could do the Pit of Heresy.
Your camera died again.
Screw it. I'm not even going to mess with it.
Okay.
you're close to being able to do Pit of Heresy, the dungeon.
Yes.
And I know you've been playing with Beaker. Yeah, we should squad up and do
for
something.
For sure. I just had puberty. Me, Beaker, I think our friend Sam, aka Cicadum, has been playing a lot. He's hooked again. And Bosox MD, all of them are GTR community members. We've all been playing Destiny. I think Bosox is ready, but I'm ready to. I know the wife's in the chat. Baby, I love you, but I'm sorry. It might be heading back to Destiny Talk Radio again. It's Destiny. Destiny Wives is coming back in 2020.
Yep. Hilarious. I think I know why my camera keeps dying, because I left it on all night and it might be overheating. So that might be why it's turning off. But anyways, that's another discussion for another day. But yeah. I mean, the Destiny 2 bug has hit me again, too. And I've been playing a lot. Like, I've been playing Iron Banner all week. And it's crazy. Like, I'll say this, and we'll get out of here. If Halo Infinite has taught me anything with its reveal, it's made me appreciate what Bungie has done with Destiny over these past now 6 years. That here's a game that everyone's highly anticipating in Halo Infinite, you know, had the big reveal, wind up being overwhelming, and in the same show you see the trailer for what's coming for the next, you know, for Beyond Light, for the next expansion, and it looked 20 times better than what we got for Halo Infinite. And that just says a lot, because here's the guys that actually started the IP that you're now trying to revive and bring back to relevance. And they're like, oh yeah, see, this is why we left. Look at this. Right. So everyone already knows how much I like Destiny, and I know there's a bias there or whatever. You know, it's a roller coaster. I've been there through all the ups and downs. I feel like we're about to hit another uptick with it, and I'm here for it. I'm excited. The fact that it's coming to Game Pass and on Xbox, it just opens up another platform when the Series X comes out for people to be able to experience what you and I experienced, Pete, on PC at 4K at 60 frames. Once you start playing Destiny at above 60 frames, I can't go back, dude. I cannot go back to the other way. That's why I don't play on PlayStation anymore. But yeah, I'm excited for the future of it. It's going to be good. So that's it. No Destiny Talk Radio yet, but you can be rest assured that the next couple of months I might have a couple of things cooking for Destiny, and we might get some folks from Bungie on talk about the game closer to launch. So I think that's it for me. Yeah, I talked about the IGN thing. I got a couple other things that are going to happen here in the near future that I can't talk about just yet, but they're exciting, and I think you people will enjoy it. And yeah, tomorrow, or as people are listening to this, if they're listening to the day of release, Night City Wire Episode 2 is coming out for Cyberpunk. I will not be live streaming it because I will not be available. I'm doing some secrets. But I am planning, after I get back home, to obviously watch it on demand, and I'll have some thoughts. So there might be a video or two that drops about that. So I'm excited to see what they have for episode 2 of Night City Wire and Cyberpunk. And knock on wood, don't get delayed. Please just come out in November, because I'm ready. Like, I still can't believe that I played that game. I played it, and I'm ready for more. And I think when everyone gets a chance to play for themselves, they're going to be very excited to explore Night City. CD Projekt Red is doing something pretty incredible with that game. Even in the state that I played it in, which was kind of a little buggy, dude, you give me that, I'm good. I ain't complaining, because it's going to be phenomenal.
Having said that, but you just went on a Fall Guys as Game of the Year rant.
I know, I did. It is a Game of the Year. It can be co-game of the year. Okay. You have two.
The camera's off, but there's so much conflict in your face right now.
No, I mean, look, we already know where my biases live, you know, on games like that. So, I mean, dude, I will not be playing Fall Guys on November 19th. I know that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like, Destiny's a game I'm always going to play. I'm always going to love. Obviously, you know, what CD Projekt Red has done with The Witcher 3, and now what I know they are doing with Cyberpunk, I'm super excited for it. But I want to see these gems like Fall Guys. I like when these little gems come out of nowhere, and you know, just embrace the gaming community as a whole, and we all love it. So it's good times. I'm excited for the future of gaming. Hopefully we get these PlayStation 5 and Series X launch dates and price announcements soon, so we can talk about that. Oh, Pete, before we go, because Danny ain't here, we're the captains, we do what we want. Last thing. So it leaked that it looks like September 9th, NVIDIA is announcing the 3080 and the 3080 Ti. I will have my wallet in my hand, ready to just literally throw it at wherever I have to, because I'm getting it immediately. I don't care how much it costs. I shouldn't say that. I do care how much it costs. Please don't be too expensive. But I'm getting a 3080 Ti. 100%. It's not even a question in my mind. 100%. I'm just getting it ready, playing Cyberpunk, everything else on it. I can't wait. So September 9th, I should say, it looks like that's going to be the day they're going to announce it.
Well, announcement and ready for delivery, two totally different dates. I know my wife is currently in the stream, but she knows how I am with technology. Baby, I love you, but things will be purchased.
Yep, absolutely.
You got to put it out there now, you know, so that if I got to have the PowerPoint deck ready when she arrives here in Switzerland, or if I need to send it to her via email, just discussions will have to be made.
And I will say this as well. On September 9th, if you are part of our Discord community, so discord.gg/GTR, there will be an NVIDIA 2080 Ti going up for sale to our community at a reasonable price, just so you know. So if you're not part of the community, you might want to join. and Pete just walked away. Oh, he's running, get the box. I don't have a camera, but you're seeing.
Well, for those that are in the chat and you are in the United and you're in the EU, there is a 2080 Ti that's up available for sale. So those of you that are interested, please hit me up in the DMs.
Stop trying to top me for what I said.
Copycat. Ready when you are. Why wait when you can have it right now?
Yeah.
Why wait?
No. Awesome. But with that said, let's wrap it up because now we're literally going into after show talk at this point. But yeah, so thank everybody for watching. Thank everybody for listening. Appreciate it. This has been episode 1059 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris. That's Pete.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.